is fermented, if you put new wine into a hard, brittle, stiff wineskin, when that new wine expands and ferments and gives off gases, what happens is it can cause that wineskin to explode. And then the wine is wasted. And Yeshua said, I will not pour new wine into an old wineskin. So this new season that we're coming into is the season of the new wine. I'm convinced of it. And God himself is saying, I will not pour this new wine, this move of my Holy Spirit, this glory that he's going to pour out on the earth. He said that the glory of God will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. We're headed into that day. And as darkness gets darker, light's going to get brighter. So he's saying to the church, the old wineskin, I will not pour this new wine into an old wineskin. Then he goes on to say, if you have an old garment that has a tear in it, you don't sew a new piece of fabric onto an old piece of cloth. Because what's the point, right? Any of you that have ever had, I just think of my mother's old quilts, and she would use old fabric, old sheets and old things that we had, and we'd make quilts with them. But when that quilt got old, that fabric got really thin. And when there'd be a hole in it, we didn't put another piece of cloth and sew it into that quilt because the area around it was fragile and would just tear and rip, and it'd be worse off than before. And that's what Yeshua said in that parable. You have these old garments and you get a tear in them. You don't sew a new piece of fabric on that. You got to get a new garment. And I just believe God is asking us, preparing us, inviting us to seek him so that we won't be an old wineskin, so that we won't have these old garments, and rather we will have the garment of righteousness which belongs to the Lord, and he adorns us, and it's not even about us. So I don't know about you, but I can't make myself a new wineskin. I can't make myself a new garment. I have to seek the Lord. And the whole Zephaniah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. I wrote that in the cement right there. And as I was coming back here, I went, oh, how appropriate. Yeah. That is our reality. If we get focused on ourselves and trying to be good enough and trying to somehow be a new wineskin, we're going to miss it. We're going to totally miss it. We have to get our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on the Lord. Like Simon Peter walking in the middle of that storm, and he had his eyes on the Lord until all of a sudden he notices this probably, I don't know, 10-foot tall wave coming at him, and all of a sudden he starts sinking. So I believe it's super important for us. This new wineskin, I believe, is going to be a people who are flexible, who are teachable, who don't have a religious spirit, but they have a relationship with the Lord, unlike anything we ever dreamed we could have. A people that are lovesick, that he's their first love. And I'm here to tell you, you leave this body and stand before God, because one day you will, and he's not going to look at you and say, well, why didn't you do blah, 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 blah. First thing he's going to look for is, what's in your heart? Do you love me?
Yeah.
Did you let me love you so that you could love me back? Do I know you? And do you know me? We get really focused on the doing, and we forget that God, first and foremost, looks past the doing, and he looks right in our hearts, and he's looking for his son. He's not looking for your performance. Mm-hmm. He's looking for his son.
Yeah.
Is my son living in you? And if he is, his arms are wide open. Come on, come on, come on. But if we don't know his son, we're in trouble. We're going to be separated like sheep and goats. Depart from me, I never knew you. And some of those people he's going to say it to were hard workers in the kingdom, they thought. Some of them are going to be like the scribes and Pharisees, the religious people that sought the Bible, wanted to have all these Bible studies, but they refused to come to him. He said that to the Pharisees, remember? You seek the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but you refuse to come to me. I mean, think about that for a second. Yeshua is in their midst doing signs and wonders and miracles. They saw the blind eyes open. They saw the lame walk, the dead. They saw it. And they still refused to come to him. I mean, that's intense. It's intense. That's a season we're coming into. The new wineskin. The new garments of righteousness that come only from the Lord. That you can't make them. You can't sew them. You can't buy them. I think of Paul's words in Hebrews. He said, what did he say? Basically, he said, it's not enough for you just to believe. He said, you have to believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder of those who follow me. Do you believe that God rewards you? That he's a giver? That he loves you unconditionally? Or do you think he's a harsh dictator, Santa Claus, God keeping a list of your deeds, whether they're good or bad?
Giver.
He's extravagant. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or imagine. We have to believe that God is. And that he's a rewarder of those who seek him.
Yes.
He's a giver. He doesn't take. He gives. And he wants to give us a new wineskin and new garments so that he can pour out his spirit in everybody in this room. Not just one or two or ten. Not just staff. He wants to pour out his spirit in an unprecedented manner and measure in you. In us. But he said, I will not do it if you have an old wineskin. I can't. I can't because it will be wasted. God's not going to waste himself in that way. He's just not going to do it. He said he wouldn't. We can all have a new wineskin. We can all have new garments. Doesn't matter how old your garments are or how ripped and torn up and shabby they are. Those aren't going to ever be good enough. I think that's really good news. We don't have to do it. He gets to. And we get to get low and fall in love and stay in love. You know, it's easy to fall in love. I think the harder part's to stay in love. And return to our first love when we find ourselves drifting. So we are absolutely coming into a time of signs and wonders and miracles that we've all been asked, hopefully we've all been asking for and hoping for and praying into. And I believe we're going to see the greatest harvest greater than any that's ever happened. The Bible says that. It's coming. And I believe we're going to see it. I believe it's coming like a freight train. And I'm excited. You know, the Lord recently said to me, I've been asking him, what does it mean to brace yourself? Because he told us in January or February, brace yourself. What does it mean to brace yourself? And one of the things he said to me the other day is, he said, you know, you're thinking the wrong direction. You're looking the wrong direction. He said, first and foremost, brace yourself because my spirit's coming like a tidal wave. Brace yourself for my spirit that's going to come upon you and move through you like a tidal wave. The storm that's coming is going to usher in the spirit of God in power and signs and wonders and miracles. And those of you that were in class last Saturday, the Lord spoke to us and he said, I'm going to do in 5 minutes what used to take 5 years. I'm going to begin to do in 5 minutes what used to take 5 years. And I'm going to heal. And we had our first fruits of that this week. Caitlin and her mother, Kristen, came back from Ohio. And she was looking at about, hopefully, 2 to 4 weeks of coming back and getting some more healing. And we knew when she left, she needed some more. And we watched God do, right, Debbie and Cindy? We watched God do what she thought was going to take years in a day and a half.
Wow.
And she left here with her, all those things that were in place, demolished and free. And God said, it is finished.
Wow.
He did it.
Wow.
Our first fruits happened 3 days after he spoke it. And so what I want to challenge all of us to do is believe Hebrews. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. To believe his word. He said it. Now he's confirmed it with a sign and a wonder. And last night, we had another taste of God moving in power like that. And so, I just want to see us believe that he's a rewarder. That he rewards. That's who he is. I often think of the story of the master who gave the coins to the three servants. Well, I can't remember, 1, 5, 1, 3. I always forget those numbers. And 1, 3, 10, 5,
and 1.
What was it?
I think it was 10, 5, and 1.
10, 5, and 1. And then the guy that got one coin, the first guy doubled his money. The second guy brought in more. The third one said, I knew you to be a hard taskmaster. So I went and hid the coin you gave me. Here's your coin back. And the master said, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew me to be a hard taskmaster, so why didn't you at least put that coin in the bank and draw some interest? That's, to me, the picture of people that don't believe God is a rewarder. That God doesn't reward. They see him more as a hard taskmaster. God is not a hard taskmaster. This world is. Sin is. This slave, this servant accused God of being hard-hearted. Reaping, he out of his own mouth, he said, you reap where you don't sow. And then the master says, well, you knew that, so why didn't you? He was wicked and lazy. Let's not be lazy about this. Let's not be wicked. Let's believe that God said it. It's going to happen, and not let these voices in our heads or even our history, even the history that we have. I'm here to tell you, your history's in the old wineskin.
That's right. Yeah.
It's in the old wineskin. It's not in this new season that God's bringing us into. He's going to do things totally different in this new season. And we're going to see him move like we've never thought possible. I'm telling you, we are. If we believe that he's a rewarder. So let's take this to heart in this season that we're celebrating, that is meant to point us to God's kindness and his mercy, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that's coming up afterwards. Let's remember this season where we come before God and we get clean before God. And we have a new beginning. Today's a new beginning in God's calendar. And let's step into that. And step into this new beginning, this new season, this new wineskin, this new garment. And hopefully that garment is going to be our bridal garment one day as we enter into that type of relationship forever with our rewarder, bridegroom, God, the one who rewards. Anybody have anything to add or take away?
Abraham said that God was his great reward. Yes, he rewards, God rewards, but at the root of it, God is our reward.
Amen. He's our inheritance as well. Amen. Good. Anybody else?
Dare to believe. Step out.
Amen.
We were talking this week earlier, I think, wasn't it on Wednesday, Bina, when we were talking about going into your secret place to pray, shut the door, go into your room, shut the door, and when you pray to your Father who's in secret, he will reward you. And we were talking about that reward, you know, him being our reward, we find him, and that, not necessarily, the secret place isn't necessarily a literal room in your house that you go into, but it's really the position of your heart, and but I just spent time thinking about it that day, like, wow, you know, that his reward is not only faithfully answering our prayer or not, which is also his reward sometimes, to not answer the things that we're praying for, but just that intimacy with him and how it grows our spirit man is a reward. We don't even realize it. We can't count it and measure it the way that he does.
Good.
But we are being rewarded because of that position of our heart to be in dialogue with him from the secret place.
Yeah. Amen. Good.
But he also promises that if you do go into your closet in secret, he rewards you openly.
Yeah.
So he doesn't reward you secretly. He rewards you openly and with physical blessings.
All kinds. You
know, all kinds of blessings. Not just spiritual blessings, but all kinds of blessings. Including causing the ground to grow really big. Fruit, vegetables, all kinds of stuff that doesn't normally grow.
Anybody else?
If somebody has a testimony of something that happened this week, or a blessing that happened in the world, like to share with you.
Yeah, I want to share. So you're talking about God doing healing and like this, and this week I've been like so happy, like I haven't been so long, and like I always have this expectation of like I have to grow out of something or I have to take a while to heal out of something. But God just told me, he just like told me, you're not depressed, that's not who you are, and that's it.
Wow.
And that's it.
Woohoo!
Literally, it's such a waste of time. But he said, like, God, you need to be happy, that's who you are, that's who my name is. And he said, this is a calling I have for your life, so that's it. That's not who you are anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, I've just been in a long, long time, and it's just very freeing.
Woo! Anybody else?
last night you set the tone for a meeting to be anything is possible. God, with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. This is the first thing you like pointed out. The first thing you said, and as we are going on, I'm like really just imagining what that looks like. What is possible? What do I think is impossible? Is not impossible. And then I look down in this little dish. And this little dish has a scripture in it. With God, all things are possible. And I'm like, oh, okay, well then I guess it is true. So I just
right there beside you.
I'm like, oh yeah, well, there you go. So just wanted to share that. So.
That is the season we're going into. Is that nothing is impossible for God, and are we going to believe it or not?
That's right.
That's like as simple as the word. You know,
yeah.
It's like, look it, there it is, and you believe it. And
yeah.
That's right. Like Abraham, it's like those who count as righteousness by his faith. When your faith is being founded right there, you're calling faith. She said it, there it is, it's so.
That's right.
She's saying, God said it, there it is, it's so.
Yeah.
First starts with words and then it manifests in the physical. And that's what that was last night. Just like
that's
that.
The season we're coming fully into.
Whoa.
It's
awesome. Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. It's so powerful.
Yeah. Exciting.
Well, I just want to say this week, the beginning of the week was really, really hard and painful in terms of what they were gonna look like. And I'm telling you, I prayed a lot that day, and I know a lot of other people were too, but I saw the Lord completely turn something around that just blessed me so much, and I so needed that encouragement, because it just the pulse on the world right now and everything that we're reading and everything we're hearing and everything that's going on, it's just really a lot, and we weren't meant to be the ones to, you know, to carry that. But we forget sometimes, you know, just reading it and take it on in some way. And I'm just so grateful that the Lord did what he did to just show me personally. I mean, I know it was a blessing for all of us, but to show me personally that he hears our heart's cry. And his eye is on the sparrow.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that he is God and we are not.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I have a testimony.
Yeah.
So for about like a week, I've been looking for one of my shoes. Literally, and I've been asking everybody at the Haven, like, hey, have you seen these shoes? They're like, Celeste's t-shirt, you can't miss them. And they were in the walkway, the entrance closet. So I'm like, this is weird. Like, it's not anywhere to be found at all. Just one shoe. And yesterday, I forgot who I asked, but I was like, hey, can you guys really just pray? I think it was Davey and someone, Edie and somebody. I was like, can you just pray that the Lord would just show me where my shoes are, someone. And it reminded me of your story. And so I was like, I just got to ask him because he knows. Because I asked everybody at the house. And then I forgot who it was, but they're like, maybe it'll just drop from heaven or something. Possibly. And today, I got home and my shoe was right there in the closet. And it looked like it dropped down from the closet.
Oh,
or someone threw it, or like the bottom of the shoe. And I was like, did it fall from his jacket? Like, anyways, testimony. Like, what happened to you? And I asked everyone if they found, if they were the ones that found my shoe, and no one.
Wow.
They're like, no, I didn't find your shoe.
No. Wow.
You believe that he is a
rewarder.
Yes, Yeshua loves Yeshua.
As a testimony, we had Hurricane Sally on our family down on the Gulf Coast there, and we were at men's group, and we were sitting there, and we were all aware that this was happening. We were kind of praying, text went off and it said, wow, we're in the eye of the hurricane. It is so eerie. It's like there was no rain or nothing. The sky was a different color. It was just really eerie. And so we stopped and we prayed right then. And the amazing thing was, before lunch, the eye of that hurricane, which, you know, swirls this way, it dissipated and went straight and went right up. Because usually you're in the eye, then you get the rest of the product as it goes on up. Well, it never went on up. It dissipated as a tropical storm. Right on up. And, you know, it's like, no, that wasn't a chance. That was a power of prayer. It was a power.
Amen.
Our position, our agreement corporately as men and women and all of us,
amen.
That wasn't going to happen. And it was really obvious. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I got something too. I want to say also that just giving glory to God, like you're saying, Scott, is like how he, in this situation, partners with protecting our families, many families out there. And how many times we've had prayers going out for family members that have lived outside or in Kansas City and whatever might be happening, just really in the midst of danger. And God has just like walked everybody through that, you know. And I just think that's just amazing, you know, the outcome of the, you know, whatever up to him. But just looking at how he is, you know, in our midst. And then, and also this week, just, you know, I just really just in awe of God, how he came alongside and made a way for Courtney, and just really blew the house down, blew the weather. I mean, everything just came and like a force of love, and how Courtney fought for her way too, and entered into what God had for her. And then the residents and staff, and just as a farm, how everybody just came and just met at God's feet, you know, and just walking that out, you know, just for a few days. It was just beautiful and just really powerful. And I'm so thankful for everyone and our God and you, Courtney, and just, you know, all that he has in store. And for each and every one of us, boy, over and over, he just continues to meet us in the small things each day in many of our lives, you know. It's not always a big thing that happens, but it's just that day to day, you know, like, just amazing. So, really blessed.
Amen.
Wednesday we were making pickles, and my friend who's had two heart surgeries in the last week and a half was back in the hospital because his heart rate, his one heart rate was 120 and the other heart rate was 60. It was atrial fibrillation. I was just so frustrated. So Rhonda, Kelly, and I, and a couple of other residents prayed for him. Within an hour, that heart went back to normal. And it has
good friend of our families, worked for my dad for years, retired from my dad. They live down in Arkansas, live in Lemon Patty. He's just a great guy, Christian. He's a really nice guy. And he's taught in churches before and everything. Anyways, he was mowing the yard last week and felt funny, lost energy, and just said, you know, I can't finish this yard. So he went in and told Patty of the symptoms and what was happening. She called a nurse friend of hers, or a doctor, and he said, you got two choices. You take him to the ER or you get an ambulance for him now. Went to the hospital. He was sitting in there with in the emergency room with the nurses. They were getting him ready to do an EKG on him. He was in the hospital, in intensive care, emergency room. And they laid him down for an EKG, and he had a heart attack right there. And Patty called everybody, and prayers went out. We were all praying, you know, praying for wisdom for the doctors and everything. And he's fine. They went in and put two stents in. He had one artery was 100% blocked, and the other artery was 95% blocked. Doctors don't know why it didn't damage the heart. We know why it didn't. But they put two stents in, and he said he feels better now than he ever has.
Wow.
Just kind of cap off what Sally said about the first part of the week and Courtney having the experiences that she did, and you know, it's definitely on the ladies' side of things, and the men are not really involved that much with it, right into it. But I've got to tell you, Courtney, we were praying and praying, and we really are also very happy on the men's side of this.
I'm just really excited for everyone. Woo-hoo! This new season, and just, you know, like, no matter what comes at us, like, we have Yahweh. I mean, man.
Yeah.
And he does fight for us.
Yeah.
And, so every time I hear Rhonda say the 5-year thing, the first thing I would hear in my head was like, it's going to be 5 years since my husband had died.
Wow.
And like, oh, and it's just not seeing that God can come in and he can do this and he can do that. So last night, he came in and he just rocked my world. Down some strongholds that have been there since he's unraveling things and showing me different things, and it was so hilarious because what Rhonda had seen was me like having this huge mountain in front of me, right? And here I'm trying to do it all myself, and I got this little spoon in my hand, trying to chip away at this, and it's just impossible, because it really was impossible for me. But the Lord comes in and he does what I cannot do, and I'm so grateful for his help and breaking off all the self-reliance, self-protection, all sorts of self-stuff. And yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Hey, Ashley, just want to point out to you that you remember when you ran last
Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Rhonda put out the word. So does anybody want to take that next step to their fullness of what God has for them? And I was like, wow, look at that, Abby, you ran. So that was that measure of faith that said, I partner with God and I believe what I believe. And this is the fruit of that right there. So praise be to God.
That's amazing.
Congratulations.
I love that, Ed, because it's so true. Rhonda extended that invitation that everybody who wanted to come up higher, everybody ran back there, and I'm just thinking about how all the Lord asks us to do is take one step, and he'll take all the rest. And so look what he's done this week as a result of our partnering with him.
That's right.
Yeah, and I noticed Courtney did the same thing. She was up there, and I saw you, Courtney, and I was like, wow, look at that, and look at that.
Anybody else? I like to praise God that she'll be a good teacher. I mean, not just that's going on recently. The Holy Spirit is the best teacher.
Amen.
And he's stripping away the things that come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I thank him that he's faithful to teach and teach well and help me and all of us to receive those teachings and seal them up. so we can remember them.
Yeah.
And even when we don't, I mean, he's faithful to bring it to remembrance. But thank you, God.
Amen.
Yeah.
I agree. We agree.
I thought that this is a season of believing, faith building, season of faith building, believing, seeing what God is doing is good. It's a blessing season. I think that's what he was talking to me about the other day, about blessing, the song he played, the blessing. It seems like every time I get in the car, he goes one way or the other, or something. One of the channels that I turn to, they're playing the blessing song, and I feel like the Lord is saying that this is a season of being careful, being prepared, brace yourself, but it's also a season of blessing.
Yes.
That there will be many, many blessings. We're already seeing fruit. So sometimes brace yourself, maybe, I can't believe that just happened to me. I just got this. I just got that. That's unbelievable. Brace yourself for the blessings sometimes. They're coming. And so with the Spirit moving, it's amazing. It really is amazing. I know we usually raise our little chicks in an incubator. We've done that for quite a while. But at the moment, we've got a hen that's raising a little chick. And that hasn't happened in over a year. A
couple of years.
So
yeah.
I don't even know how many she's got. We only saw one, but she may have two or three. I don't know.
She has two. So if y'all want to see the cutest thing in the whole wide world, there's nothing to me more fascinating than watching a mother hen train her baby chicks.
Aww.
And they actually train them. She has different voices that she'll use. She'll call them. And if they don't come when she calls them, she changes her voice and gets onto them. And I took her some cucumbers and tomatoes over just before I came here, the mama. And I was a little concerned because I know baby chicks don't need food yet. They need baby chick feed. So I thought, well, I'll just put one piece down and see what happens. So I put a slice of cucumber down. And the mama hen immediately started eating the middle because they love the seeds better than anything. And this baby chick comes right up and starts to eat, and mama changes her whole voice and tells that chick, back off. And the chick, one did, the other one decided to be a little more determined and came up to try to get a little bite, and mama again raised her voice, said, no way, buddy, back off. And the baby didn't. Mama took her little mouth and went like that at the baby chick, and the baby ran. So, I mean, it's fascinating.
Wow.
It's such a fun thing to watch. So, again, don't take food to them, to her. I don't want you doing that, because if you put too much down, the babies will sneak and get it. So don't do that. But go help yourself. She can get outside now in the back fenced-in area with her two babies. And you're welcome to watch and listen to her tone. And she'll call them, and she fluffs herself up so they can get under her wings. And she sits there. You got to think about that. She sits there with her legs bent, her knees bent, but not settled down, because she'll squish them. So she'll sit there all night long and all day with her knees bent to have those babies under her.
Wow.
Without suffering, smothering them or squishing them. It's pretty amazing. Of course I think of Yeshua saying that I would, you guys, that I'm a mother hen, come and get under my wing, and you'll find protection there. But he said, but you would not, in the same thing as you wouldn't come, we wouldn't. The Pharisees and scribes wouldn't come to him. And that whole image of a mother hen, Yeshua saying, I'm a mother hen. And if you're afraid, if you're scared, if you need anything, I'll take care of you. I'll tell you, don't eat that. That's going to make you really sick. And if you don't listen, I'll make sure you listen, you know. And I'll fluff my wings out and let you come and get under them. So we're going to have another hen hatch her babies. She's got 7 eggs under her. In about a week, I think.
Ooh,
Ashley.
Nice.
Ashley's done a great job with the chickens.